We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount+. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount+, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful Black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Good morning, USA!
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, T. Danby.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Thursday!
Yes, it's Thursday.
That's right. Almost the damn weekend.
That's right.
And I'm tired.
Tired?
I'm always tired, man. And I'm always tired on days I shouldn't be tired.
Yeah, you taping your show today, right?
Yeah, my show comes on tonight, Hell of a Week, on Comedy Central at 11:30, right after The Daily Show. Got a great show for you tonight. We got Roy Wood Jr. We got Malcolm Gladwell. We got my good sister, Angela Rye, and Fat Joe. And I'm always tired on days I shouldn't be tired, because today's a long day.
Mm-hmm.
But we here. We here. We blessed black and we highly favored. What's happening?
We out here.
Yes. Good morning. Well,
that's right.
We got a special. Sorry, that's my.
What's going on over here?
Damn, bro.
That's my ways.
Who are you talking to?
Wow. That's the ways that.
That ain't no damn ways.
Yes, it was.
That sounded like some directions. That sounded like something you was listening to on the way in, King, to get excited.
Yeah, that sounded like singing.
You was trying to get in the mood.
It was turned right. That's the ways.
Damn, that. Whatever. Hey,
why does it my ways don't talk like that?
I got gear find out, though.
This is the boy. I got the boy band on the ways app. So
hey,
like,
man. Whatever floats your boat, King.
Why do you have that?
Speaking I don't know.
Whatever floats your boat.
My daughter put it on there as a joke, and it's just been there ever since.
Whatever. Floats your boat, King. Okay, top boy band. Jesus Christ. Speaking of boy bands,
Omarion will be joining us
we
today.
We definitely have Omarion in here this morning. Okay,
that's right.
Has Omarion done any conversations or anything since
nope.
Since B2K did Drink Champs and all of that?
He hasn't done anything.
I think he's doing a press run though.
Yeah, he hasn't.
I did lip service with him too, so I know.
Yeah, he hasn't really discussed anything in the last at least 2-3 years.
Because he has a book out.
Yeah, he's got a book coming out called Unbothered. And the documentary, right?
Mm-hmm. A 5-part series.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll be kicking it with Omarion a little bit. And then we got front page news. What are we talking about?
Yes. Imagine this. A woman, she was a teenager, And she killed her alleged rapist, and now she has to pay restitution to his family.
What?
Wow. All right, well, we'll talk about that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Come on.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and an extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get some front page news. Now with Thursday Night Football, the Chiefs take on the Chargers tonight at 8:15 p.m. Eastern. Now, what else you got, Yeezy?
Man, this is so sad. A judge in Iowa ruled that a girl who was 15 years old when she killed a man who she said raped her multiple times has to pay restitution to his family, $150,000. Piper Lewis killed her alleged rapist in 2020, and they said that she's getting 5 years probation. Here's what the judge had to say.
Nations is that until you reach the age of 25, your life will be highly structured, particularly for the next 3 years. As it relates to the community service hours, you will be obligated to complete 200 hours of community service per year for the next 3 years. The purpose of that, Ms. Lewis, is that you have a story to tell. If you're willing to tell that story in front of me and the members here in this courtroom, you should be willing and able to tell that story to other young and vulnerable women.
She did plead guilty to voluntary manslaughter and willful injury. Now, what happened is Zachary Brooks, right? She claims that he, who was 37 years old at the time, raped her multiple times in 2020. Originally, she was charged with first-degree murder. She was introduced to him when he gave her alcohol and marijuana and had sex with her 5 times while she was unconscious over a 3-day period, according to her plea. And so here's what she had to say as she was making her plea deal.
Hurt people, whether it's intentional or not. My actions cause pain and hurt upon others. Others' actions cause pain and hurt upon me.
Now, she was living with another man who had taken her in, who ordered her to go to Brooks's apartment to have sex with him in exchange for marijuana. Eventually, she did agree to go after he cut her neck, she said in this plea. According to what she said, Brooks picked her up, drove her back to his apartment. He told her to go in the bedroom, forced her to drink vodka shots, and fell asleep. And then at one point in the night, she woke up and he was raping her, she said.
How old was she when
15.
You keep saying allegedly rape. It wasn't proven that he raped her?
Well, this is what her statement is she's saying that happened. He's, you know, no longer alive. Mm-hmm. She killed him. So here's what she said in her statement. She wrote this, by the way. She said when she came back to the bedroom and she saw him pass out naked, she said, I suddenly realized that Mr. Brooks had raped me yet again and was overcome with rage. Without thinking, I immediately grabbed the knife from his nightstand and began stabbing him. She said, I further acknowledged that the multiple stab wounds that I inflicted upon Mr. Brooks thereafter ultimately resulted in his death. And so,
I mean, based off the details, I don't understand the logic because, you know, they have stand your ground laws and self-defense laws in this country where people walk for killing folks for defending themselves against less. So was it proven that he
sexually assaulted her? Like, bro, she was 15. Yes, to stab him up and kill him if he raped that young girl. I don't have no problem with it. Not at all.
The law in Iowa requires the court to sentence offenders to pay at least $150,000 in restitution if they kill another person.
But that's what I'm saying.
So because she took that plea deal, I guess, and that's what the law is, which definitely sounds wrong.
I wonder why she's considered an offender, though, because I feel like, I mean, I don't know what the stand your ground self-defense laws are in Ohio, but I mean, you know.
If a 37-year-old man raped a 15-year-old, like, what's the conversation? The, you know what I mean? Like, there is no conversation.
I mean, I don't, and that's why I say I gotta hear more details. I don't understand the logic.
That's why I ask you, you know, why you said allegedly, like, you know.
Well, because
if it wasn't proven it, but they should be able to prove it if he's there or not, right? Rape kids and.
Well, maybe they haven't proven it. That's the point.
Maybe.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe that's why they charged it with murder. I don't know. But I just know they have stand your ground laws and self-defense laws in this country where people walk for killing folks for defending themselves against less. Right. So that sounds wild.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that is your front page news.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, phone lines are wide open again. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong,
and asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
First he changed music, then he changed the world. The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and legacy of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. In this powerful and uplifting film, discover Bob Marley's story of overcoming adversity and the journey behind his revolutionary music that changed the world. If you missed it in theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Wake up, wake up.
Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest.
Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, what's going on? It's Dave from Houston.
Dave from Houston, H-Town. What's up, brother? Get it off your chest.
Okay, let me take y'all speakers, man. Okay, I got a big, big issue. I booked a trip to take my lady to Vegas for her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to go see Usher. So I'm like, okay, cool. We're going to go see Usher. My cousin, they just went. They paid like $300. They was in the pit, you know, front row type stuff.
Nice.
So I go on there to book the tickets. They done resold, you know how they buy all the tickets for the show?
Yeah.
And then jack the prices up like three times.
Mm-hmm.
So I paid like $1,200 just to sit in the balcony.
Oh, dang. Wow.
Well, jeez. I mean, I'm looking right now, and I don't know when your date is, but I'm seeing tickets in the balcony for $400. I mean, that's still a lot of money, but, you know, and then I see the lower level don't even make no sense. It's $2,500. But, yeah, but it's messed up because a lot of resellers do it. It's a business. They buy all the tickets, and then they resell it and make a lot of money. That's what they do for Super Bowl. That's what they do for playoffs. That's what they even do for sneakers, but ain't nothing you can do to try to get there and get it faster.
I'm like, man.
You said they'd even do it for Usher. How was the show, though?
I ain't went yet. We ain't go. Birthday next month. I'm trying to sell the tickets, man. I can't.
Well, let me tell you what you do. Invest in some binoculars, sir. Okay? That's what you do. Buy his and hers binoculars for you and your bae, all right?
Man, I can't. Damn. I'm about to put my Cash App out here, man, for everybody to...
Man, ain't nobody paying no Cash App for you and your girl to go see no damn Usher. You always run out now.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is V from Passaic, New Jersey.
Hey, V. Peace, good morning. V. How you feeling?
Good morning, y'all. I listen to you guys every single day. I be excited for that Don't Hear the Day. So whenever I don't hear it, I be pissed off. Like, I just like, what happened?
You know? When have you never heard Don't Hear the Day? Except for days I'm not here.
There's been a time or two that you probably was out. And then DJ Envy over here, like, okay, we're going to open the line so people don't get Don't Hear the Day. And it's like, people just call with dumb stuff. Your Don't Hear the Day.
That's once in a blue,
appreciate
mama.
You.
Once in a blue. But what's up?
Yes. But I really, really would love if you guys would stop playing that I Hate You song. Y'all play
me too.
Every hour.
I'm with you.
I'm over Essence.
You know it's crazy when you play a song so much called I Hate You, but then you start to hate the song because you hear it too damn much.
Like, I hate the song. I mean, it's just like I'm over it. And it's like, just play something else. There's so much to play.
I am so with you. I that's a whole other conversation, though.
Like what I would do to make you feel something, please.
That's G singing it, and we just played it too.
I didn't like you, but if you're gonna do that, I'm gonna.
She does. I mean, she does have a point, though. I mean, I wish radio would adapt to, you know, how people consume music nowadays. People consume music on demand. Like, you know, we have to admit that the way radio plays records is prehistoric at this point.
800-585-1051. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, listen, man. Sean Tone TV, I want to ask you guys a question.
Okay.
I was telling you the bell food.
You said what?
Well, Charlamagne actually cooked, but all her, everything that she had was amazing, though. The syrup was good. The pancakes was good.
Mm-hmm.
I tried the macaroni at the crib last night, which was amazing. So everything was pretty good, bro.
Yeah, my mom asked me that last night. My mom says, are we getting rid of Aunt Jemima? I was like, yeah, yep. I can't front. Patty Mix is really, really dope.
Yeah.
Not to mention, it's just the fact, I mean, not only is the product good, but yeah, there is something about, you know, knowing the person on the box. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's something about that.
So Envy, I should blow my horn for Patty LaBelle's food.
Yes.
Are you?
Hey, Sean Stone.
Goodness gracious. How do your horns have feedback?
Sean, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What else are you willing to blow for Patty's food?
Don't proposition him.
Well, we got Trav on line three. Hold on.
Rest in peace to all these rappers, man.
Bro, that was so broad and so in, just like no compassion. Rest in peace to all these rappers.
Goodbye, Sean. Goodbye.
You didn't even think that went through. Rest in peace to all these rappers. Like, Jesus Christ.
Goodbye. Hello, who's this?
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Good morning, brother.
Morning, guys. I just want to wish my brother a happy birthday. His name is Troy. Hey, good morning.
Happy birthday, Troy. Morning.
Hey, Troy out of North Carolina. I love you, bro. I hope you hear this.
Okay, that's sweet.
You guys have a wonderful day.
You too.
Charlamagne the God and DJ Envy.
Peace, King.
Hello?
I'm the rest.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
What's up? How's it going, DJ?
Well, you had 20 more seconds, and I was calling the police about a crime in progress.
How's it going, Shalma?
Peace, King. How are you, brother?
Mm-hmm. Pretty good. I went to your Atlantic City event. It was very nice.
You did what?
He went to your something.
I went to the Atlantic City of DJ Envy event.
Oh, the car show?
Yes.
You had a great time?
It was very nice.
Thank you so much.
I even got to win a prize. There was one, merchant that was doing the contest, and I won a Lincoln Tech bottle of water.
Yes, oh, a Lincoln Tech bottle of water.
Shout out to Tina and all that.
Yes,
pretty
it
cool.
It was exciting. It was like a spin the wheel or something.
You spin the wheel, okay. And you won. Oh, yeah, shout out to Lincoln Tech. We love Lincoln Tech.
Congratulations, yeah. King, for your bottle of water.
You're a winner.
Thank you so much. I love you. Whenever you guys...
Yo, in New York, we on Power 105, King.
You guys, whenever you got very sarcastic with each other, especially Solomon and DJ Envy, it is the most hysterical thing. I don't think ever station does that.
Well, we've been on for 13 years. We blessed, brother. Thank you very much, man. We appreciate you, man.
Absolutely.
It is amazing.
Have a wonderful day, guys.
It will, yes, sir. It will never cease to amaze me that these people will never know what station we on. They just know that it's The Breakfast Club with Charlotte McGay, Angela Lee, and DJ Enough.
Okay. Hey, it is what it is. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. We got rumors on the way?
Yes, and R. Kelly convicted of multiple child pornography and enticement charges, but he did have some acquittals. We'll tell you all about it.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's time. She's spilling the tea.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
All right, I feel like we've said this multiple times, but welcome to congratulations to Nick Cannon, and he has welcomed his ninth child.
Another one?
By the way, that wasn't even live. Angelique, that was a recorded. Angelique recorded that months ago. She said, well, congratulations to Nick Cannon on another child.
That's, say it all the time. Lanisha Cole, congratulations to him and Lanisha Cole. He posted introducing Onyx Ice Cole Cannon. Once again, today I'm in awe of the divine feminine. God has given me and Miss Lanisha Cole the privilege of hosting an angel here on earth. I vow to protect, provide, guide, and love this child to the best of my ability.
How many babies he had this year? Three?
I don't know.
At some point, I'm not giving...
But he does have two more on the way.
Two
that we know of, yes.
Yeah. At some point, I'm not giving Nick Cannon no more congratulations. At some point, I'm not... No more gifts, and not that I've ever sent one. But at some point, you can't keep giving the man gifts for baby showers.
No, he can't.
You can't keep having baby showers.
But that's not fair to the mother, because some of the mothers, it's their first child. But you can't go to another
Nick Cannon baby shower. For the mothers that's this first child, you do your thing. But for Nick, no. Nick, you've done this before. Okay.
You can't have another baby shower.
We cool.
No, you can't.
Well, he has two more children on the way this year with Abby De La Rosa and Brittany Bell.
There's no way he remembers all the birthdays. No way.
Now, Abby De La Rosa, in the meantime, was on an episode of Lovers and Friends podcast. And here's what she had to say about her relationship.
Naturally, yes, I could understand everybody's distaste in the way that I have chosen to live my life. Technically speaking, we all know about each other. It's just, how much do you want to know? How much are you choosing to know? And I trust the connection that I have with Nick.
So is Nick your primary partner?
Nick is my primary partner, yes. During this pregnancy, I'm monogamous by choice. But if a connection comes, and it doesn't necessarily have to be sex, and I think that's what everybody always thinks is, oh my God, you guys are having one big orgy. And it's like, actually, no, it's actually quite the opposite.
Wait, I'm confused. She's the primary partner, but he got two other babies on the way?
Well, no, he's her primary partner.
Yes, her primary partner. I'm not mad at it. It's all her choice. I mean, everybody does what works for them in relationships. If that works for them, who are we to,
I love Nick. Judge. Shout out to Nick. But how much do you think he pays per month?
Well, he's buying business. Houses and he's taking care of everybody. I don't ever hear anybody complain about finances.
Ever complains. That's what I'm saying. No, I'm just curious.
It's cool to be curious, but I mean, that's actually none of our business. And people be complaining about the situation like they the one that got to foot those bills.
Nope, I ain't got to foot no bill. I'm just curious.
That's on Mr. Nick Cannon.
I think the main thing is time and just making sure that you're there for all of those important
Well, that's impossible.
So that's I think, the main concern.
Yeah, that's going to be virtually impossible. But when you have that many kids, you just text happy birthday every day. And on most days, you're right.
Just put them all in the group chat.
That's it. Most days, you're right. Happy birthday,
kid. Somebody going to get it.
Most days, you're right.
All right. Now, R. Kelly has been convicted of multiple child pornography charges. This was in Chicago. He was convicted on 3 of 4 counts of production of child pornography and 3 of 5 counts of enticement of a minor to engage in criminal sexual activity. He was acquitted on 1 count each of conspiracy to obstruct justice and conspiracy to receive child pornography, as well as 2 counts of receiving child pornography. So
if you was R. Kelly, would you go to court anymore? You got 90 years, right? 100 years, something like that?
He has 30 years.
If I was R. Kelly, I'd have left the country 20 years ago.
All right. Well, his attorney said that he has a sense of relief that this case is now behind him, and he feels that prosecutors had overblown their case against him. And she is considering, by the way, his attorney filing an appeal. So,
yeah, but he got,
you got 30 years in what?
New York. This is in Chicago. Now, his co-defendants, Darrell McDavid and Milton Brown, were acquitted of all charges that they faced. They were charged with conspiracy to receive child pornography, receiving child pornography, and conspiracy to obstruct justice. And so they pleaded not guilty, and they were acquitted. Hmm. All right, so we'll keep you updated on all of these. But we did tell you guys this earlier. One of the witnesses in the trial, 37-year-old woman, under Jane Doe, said she started engaging in sex acts with him when she was 14 and had sexual intercourse with him when she was 15 and had sex hundreds of times before she turned 18. Mm. All right, Wendy Williams is back in rehab for substance abuse issues. She has checked herself back in, according to Page Six. The source says that things have gotten worse. She went from wine to straight up vodka. They don't know where she's receiving treatment, but they said she did previously seek help from centers in Florida and Long Island City, New York. They said her health and addiction issues worsened after her talk show's production company refused to get her help, allegedly. The source says they turned their backs on her. They had too much control over someone so vulnerable.
I mean, that's good, because you see these pictures of Wendy and you can clearly see that things aren't right. Like, you can clearly see that, you know, things are fading fast. And I'm like, well, at what point is somebody going to intervene? At what point is somebody going to say, hey, you know, Wendy, you need to check yourself into, you know, some type of facility? You just gonna sit there and basically watch her die?
But this isn't her first time checking in.
I know, right. But I'm just talking about in over the past.
I don't know how long they're able to keep you. Like, are you, if you check yourself in?
I don't know.
It's mandatory.
In recent months, like, you've seen it, and it's been very, very, very bad. And I remember I kept saying, why do they keep putting the cameras in her face when you can clearly see something is wrong? Why are people, you know, having phone conversations with her, recording them, putting them out? Like, why? You clearly can hear and see something is wrong. Why keep exploiting that?
Would you reach out to her?
What do you mean?
I said, would you reach out to her? Because you worked with her for a long time.
I mean, that part of my life is over, but I do send her healing energy. Mm. But, you know.
All right. Well, that is your rumor report.
Okay. Yeah, we absolutely positively send her healing energy.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that she checked herself in the wellness center. I don't know whether she did that herself or, you know, somebody close to her did it for her, but that's good, because I don't understand sitting around just watching, waiting for the worst to happen to somebody when you can clearly see the worst is happening to that person.
And maybe that's why, you know, the whole situation with the bank and decided to hold the money, because maybe they've seen something we didn't.
Now, see, I don't know nothing about that.
I'm just asking. I don't know. I mean,
love to conflate two issues.
I do.
Why? Why?
That's me.
You love to put two cheeks together.
I'm
focusing on one cheek, and here you go with the other one.
Because something always got to go in the middle.
All right, guys.
That's true. That is true.
All right. We got front page news next. What we're talking about.
All right.
The truth is always in the middle.
See?
All right. Well, let's talk about a different type of train. Railroad strike was averted.
What?
This is breaking news.
Wow. I hate y'all. All right. We'll get to it next. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get to some front page news. Now with Thursday Night Football, the Chargers take on the Chiefs at 8:15 p.m.
That's going to be a great game. Mm-hmm. Great game, great high scoring game. Two of the best quarterbacks in the league, Patrick Mahomes. What's the dude from Chargers' name? Herbert. Was Josh Herbert or what's the first name? I don't remember. I just know he's really good. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be a great game tonight.
All right. What else you got, Yeezy?
Well, let's talk about this railroad strike that was going to happen. It was averted. They had marathon talks and were able to reach a tentative deal with unions and management that averts a freight railroad train strike that had threatened to cripple the U.S. supply chain even more. and push prices even higher for many goods. So the deal with unions representing more than 50,000 engineers and conductors was announced just after 5 a.m. So that was breaking news this morning. It was after an all-night bargaining session. All right, so it's not away entirely. They do have to make sure they ratify this deal by union members, but it is good news because there's a lot of businesses that depend upon the freight railroads to continue to operate and for the whole economy in general. About 30% of the nation's freight does move by the rail. Mm. And Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida, he's claiming credit for sending two planes carrying migrants to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts. And so, according to Governor DeSantis, a statement says states like Massachusetts, New York, and California will better facilitate the care of these individuals who they have invited into our country by incentivizing illegal immigration through their designation as sanctuary states and support for the Biden administration's open border policies. So that's their way, I guess, of making a statement and handling things is sending buses of migrants to other places.
Yeah, that's so whack.
It's been going on for some time now.
I know they did that in Atlantic City and I know parts of New York where they just buy immigrants and homeless people just bus tickets, one-way bus tickets, and then when they get to places like Atlantic City or even Newark, New Jersey.
With no heads-up notice, by the way.
They just get there and there's nothing, there's no facility and, you know, that's so foul.
That's genius on the part of the people that's sending them. Because if they're complaining about the fact that their borders are being overrun and you have, like, you know, the liberals that are saying, you know, we should let them in and we should, you know, take care of them, blah, blah, blah. So they're saying, okay, you believe that? Well, here, take care of them.
It's just inhumane. These are human beings. Inhumane. You know, I could see if you're like, okay, give me a heads up. In 1 week we're sending, and absolutely, let's make sure things are set up.
But
really just disgusting, and it makes me look at them more like, you guys are treating these people like they're not even human beings, like they're some type of freight.
Absolutely. But you know what the politicians are doing once those people are getting there? Complaining.
Well,
they're complaining.
No,
well, the mayor. Let's talk about what's happening in New York with these migrants. Okay. Mayor Eric Adams wants to actually immediately grant working papers to some of the nearly 10,000 southern border migrants that have come to New York City, and
that's
he said there's a demand for workers here, and I can attest to that.
Yeah, and Marty
he said
Small,
I think it's imperative that we look at the employment. Think about this for a moment. We're telling migrants and asylum seekers, you can come to the country, but for 6 months you can't work. What? 6 months you can't work? He says so. 6 months you are having people who just sit idly by waiting. So who's supposed to pick up the tab for that? If the federal government is saying that for 6 months you can't work, then the federal government should be saying for 6 months we are going to compensate you because someone has to pay for that. So now he is going to actually try to help and make that happen.
That's good on Eric Adams' part. And, you know, that's what they're saying. They're like, yo, we don't want to deal with them. So if y'all want to deal with them, y'all deal with them. But Eric Adams is choosing to deal with them. A lot of those other people aren't.
Well, they don't have a choice. I know
in Illinois, they definitely complaining.
Yeah, no, Atlantic City, shout out to Mayor Marty Small. I know what they're doing is they're building centers to help them and to train them. And they are encouraging anybody coming down to Atlantic City that wants to open up businesses to make sure that they hire a percentage of the people that came from them to make sure that they work, whether it's cleaning, whether it's construction, whether whatever it may be. So they are definitely helping, but they said they never know. They said a bus will pull up and it'll be like 40, 50
that's the problem, right?
People
treat them like at least give a heads up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't just send a bus and people and then there's nothing set up. If you really are saying, okay, take them. Because
I didn't know that was happening. Yeah. I thought that people knew that the bus.
No, they're just setting
up. This has been going on for months.
Yeah,
by the way.
And just showing up.
And they just show up.
And Eric Adams said, you know, in New York City, we're struggling to attract city employees. We've heard about the great resignation, people not wanting to go back in the office. And so he's saying, look, you know, right now there's an 8% vacancy rate across city agencies, and in some places up to 20%. So let's get to work.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is your front page news.
All right. Now, when we come back, we're going to kick it with Omarion. All right. Omarion, he has a new book out. We're going to talk to him about that and everything that's going on with Omarion. All right. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
With the boxing and everything.
Yeah.
And then it feels like at some point you started realizing I got to get mentally and emotionally stronger.
Yeah. Also because of a lot of the things that, you know, that were like happening on the outside, you know what I'm saying? And that's why this book really kind of came into fruition.
Unbothered,
The Power of Choosing Joy, because, you know, I needed to do something more, you know, really figure out what worked for me, you know what I'm saying? And the breath work, you know, the mantras, all of these things that I'm sharing in the book definitely put me, you know, on another level, just as far as emotional intelligence.
What made you not respond though, right? Because you've been going through a lot the last 10 years, right? Everything. And
every, I mean, 90% of the people are going to respond somehow, some way. Right?
Yeah.
Whether it's personal, whether it's relationship, whether it's family, whether it's your group, whether it's your label,
right.
Whatever it is, don't respond.
Right.
Why?
I am a methodical person. I am a thoughtful person. So a lot of the time, if I am going to respond, I want to make sure that I get what I need from it. You know what I mean? Because rarely when we react into life that we actually get what we want. You know what I mean? So for me, I've always just been like, okay, I'm going to do what's best for me.
You check a box like, I remember he said that in 2010. She said this.
I definitely have a mental list.
But,
you know what I'm
saying? But you don't hold grudges.
Nah, I'm mature enough to realize that a lot of people's perspectives and just position in life are temporary. You know what I'm saying? Because things change. You know what I'm saying? So I try my best to not take things personal.
You feel like you slipped a little with all these things that have been happening and you had to be like, let me go back into my
I think that it's important to stand up for yourself too. You know what I mean? I think people get confused when, you know, people speak up that it's like, oh, me not or me being bothered instead of being unbothered. But I think that it's important to also stand up for yourself and speak up when you feel that, you know what I mean?
Okay, so what about Razzby saying he was triggered by certain things in the documentary?
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel some type of remorse like, okay, this was a serious issue, you know, for him?
I think for Raz, it's interesting because, you know, he obviously is intelligent enough to see an opportunity to speak about things and use it to his advantage. And what do I mean by that? You know, I just mean that, you know, I know Razzby and I've never heard him say he's been triggered. You know what I mean? But I also, you know, have you know, along with my team, especially on tour, you know, have given him the opportunity to better his process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he hasn't taken those opportunities, you know. And the thing that's, I think, that's tough for me and a lot of people to understand it is, you know, as a type of brother, you know, you have to hold your brother accountable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So when he said that he was triggered, I think that that is something that he could have felt. But, you know, if people actually watch the docu, I was there supporting him. You know, although that small clip was out there, you know, me and my team, we were out there supporting him, asking him what he needed, trying to figure out, you know, our best to help him face, you know, these very traumatic things that he's been through. You know, so I just thought it was interesting, you know, that he decided to see the clip, you know, in which he wrote off on to say that he was being triggered. I just thought it was interesting because he knows that, you know, I've been there.
Which he wrote off on me. He had to sign off on his part in the documentary.
Yes. I'm saying, like, you know, this was interesting. It's just like, yo, but, you know, we were on tour and we were supporting you. We told you, Raz.
And how did that work?
But you know how healing is, though. Healing is like, it's not a destination. It's a journey. It's not linear. So something may not bother you on Monday, but that same thing might trigger you on Tuesday.
Yeah, and you're right. I agree. You know, I just think that it's interesting in the timing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because that clip had been out there for a couple of days, and then it was just like, okay. But are you getting help, bro?
Yeah.
Are you taking the steps?
Yeah.
Are you taking the steps, you know, to not always express, you know, your emotions through the internet? Like, are you doing the work, man?
That's real.
Are you doing the work? That's not what I see.
And how was it with, you know, because you guys were brothers growing up. Like,
yeah.
You guys were everywhere together. You guys grew up with each other.
Yeah.
So how is it that you guys really don't mesh and communicate? And
right.
When they do, it's usually, I haven't heard you say really much bad about them, anything bad about them, but them talking bad about you. So
right.
How does that work? Because you all are still on tour, or were on.
Yeah, that's a challenging question. Just because, let's just take the concept of brotherhood, right?
Correct.
Everybody has a different version of that, you know, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
because some people don't actually have siblings.
Mm-hmm.
I would say in one aspect through our journey, you know, we were put together to be brothers. But I don't think in essence we were. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I think that, you know, there were a lot of people that made sure that we connected and then disconnected. It's almost like we were made to be brothers to be secret enemies. Mm. And there's only certain stories that could embody like what that means, you know, because I believe in real brotherhood, jealousy doesn't exist. You know, you might feel like, okay, well, dang, look at my bro, he going up. I want to be inspired, but it never makes you vindictive. It never makes you jealous. It never makes you go past a certain point. You know, I would say in the aspect of our journey, we have a brotherhood. But in reality, I wouldn't say they identify as what I consider my brother, like my brother Orion. You know what I mean? Like our journey, the things that we've shown each other, the challenging times we have, the way we got through that. You know, that's how you're able to really, truly identify who someone is to you in your life. You know what I mean? Somebody that loves you, they don't do certain things.
That's real.
You know, they don't say certain things. So, you know, if we just really looking at it as far as what it is, you know what I'm saying? If it act like a duck, if it talk like a duck, then
it's a duck.
You talk about forgiveness in the book too, though.
Yes.
So do you believe in that? I know you also say there was like an elder person who really was manipulative.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of caused the strain in the relationship. Do you think that there's a way to discuss things behind the scenes, off camera, and come to some healing? Because you did, you know, sit down with Jay Boog and give him a chance. You talk about that in the book as well. And, you know, decide to reconnect and go on tour.
Right.
But can you see something like that happening? Or do you feel like some things, like you said, f*** it, I can't control it?
Yeah, I think that there's definitely a lot of healing, you know what I'm saying, that could go on and that would be awesome. But I would also say that, like, you know, we're all definitely on different levels. But as far as forgiveness goes, in the aspect of the book, the reason why forgiveness is so important, because as you know, it's for you too. And it doesn't mean that you have to, you know, decide now because I forgive you that, you know, we're all of a sudden going to do what we was doing. You know, it's a process. And I would say for me, it's been a long journey. It's been such a process for me to be able to really understand how certain things in certain people's lives and even in their journeys that you can't even speak about. It's not even your right, you know, to be like, yeah, well, y'all don't really know what happened, because I do. And I'm just choosing to be respectful to, you know, allow someone to really speak about their journey. And that's so important, you know what I'm saying, to not step on people's toes. And for me, you know, I've forgiven them. You know what I'm saying?
So you forgive them, but not necessarily forget, or not necessarily want to be in, you know, a brotherhood or a relationship or anything with them ever again. They're like, I can forgive you, but
yeah.
I ain't f***ing with you.
Well, it's like, I can forgive you, you know, but at this point in time, our relationship, it doesn't serve where I need to be and the energy that I must keep myself in order to keep my own peace.
All right, we got more with Omarion when we come back. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Omarion.
I wanted to ask, and you know, we haven't seen you in a long time, so we got a zillion more questions.
For sure.
When one of the members of the group was talking to your baby's mother.
April.
Yeah.
April, yeah. How did that make you feel? And did you know?
Yeah, I knew. And it really turned up my own bother because... No, I did. No, I did in a whole nother way. You know what I'm saying? Because I knew that what he was doing was on purpose. And it didn't really prove anything. At the end of the day, you know, you have to recognize that people make their own choices. And most of the time, it don't even have nothing to do with you. So he made that choice. And I don't think it was a smart choice.
What about her? Did you ever feel like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, man. You know, I asked that question many times, you know, because I can't understand. But from her perspective, you know, someone that's hurt, you know what I'm saying? You know, hurt people, you know what I mean? And some people just take it to another level.
I remember us having that conversation here, and I said, well, I don't know if Omarion and Fizz are close. They might not be close.
But like I said,
so in his mind, that might not be a violation. But for her, clearly y'all had a situation, relationship. Y'all were close.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that's around me, you know what I mean? Anybody that I invite into my space, you know what I mean? I'm obviously comfortable with them, you know what I mean? So to say that we ain't close, you know what I'm saying? You know, because this was like early on, you know, and early on, you know, when I, you know, invited, and this probably be the last time I'll speak about this, you know what I'm saying?
I saw you do your breathing exercise. As, I saw it.
It's probably the last time I speak about
it's
this.
It's the only time I heard you ever speak about it.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? But when me and Fizz linked back up, it was like definitely some synergy, you know what I'm saying? Like he was definitely in a different personality. I would say that he was more like humble. You know, he needed something. When we was hanging out, you know, that's what the vibe was. You know what I mean? We were going on bike rides. We was really essentially getting back to a new level, you know, of brotherhood, you know, mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And there was times that he came over, you know what I mean? And he was dealing with other girls, and he came over while me and April were in a relationship. So that's why I said it turned up my father, because I knew that it was intentional, you know what I mean? And it was just like, why are you doing that though, bro? You think you won a contest or something? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, what you did was destroy something that one apology, you know what I mean, is not enough.
And you still decided to go on tour with them.
Yeah.
So what was that decision like? Because...
And what did your mom say?
Most people would be like, F that. I'm never effing with you again. So what was that? Because you had to forgive to at least allow them to go on tour.
Exactly.
And allow them to make money.
Right. What the most important thing to me, you know, once I had kids, you know what I mean, that changed everything for me. Just as far as, you know, my consideration and, you know, them not asking to be here and, you know, what it means to really be a father. You know what I mean? To be a father, you have to consider those things. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So, you know, I had to ask myself, was my hate or my disdain for my experience more important than the connections and the impact that I've had on music during my time in the group? And when I thought about how impactful that would be to my kids, that was pretty much how I decided.
And what she said about your mom, what did your mom say?
Yeah, no, my mom's was just like, I mean, everybody in support, you know, my family. And I have to definitely thank Michelle, you know what I mean? Because Michelle was the real reason why I decided to go on tour.
Who's Michelle, by the way?
That her right there. She's my business partner.
Okay,
she's my CEO of my company, okay. OWW, Omarion Worldwide. Mm-hmm. She really helped me see the value and why it was important to do it as well, because for the longest, I've been striving to mature from Omarion from B2K, you know what I mean? And so many other artists has had an opportunity to do that. You know what I'm saying? Beyonce, you know, Justin Timberlake, you know what I'm saying?
Bobby Brown.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I've always been pulled back, you know what I mean? And I couldn't figure that out.
I feel like you did, Rick. I feel like you do have your own identity outside of B2K.
Absolutely. I do have my own identity, but, you know, as far as the connectivity, you know, to the imprint in which how B2K separated, it was undone. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it was undone not from us, the group. It was undone in our experience, you know, and that's why it came back around. So that's what I mean. I don't mean not having an identity outside of that, because I've obviously been successful as a solo artist.
Mm-hmm.
I just mean being supported by everyone to never have to revisit that, and it being just something that was a treat, which ended up being, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Which ended up still being. But because of my experience, I felt definitely not good about it. You know what I'm saying? So it had to come back around in order for me to deal with it again. And
you think it's like closure?
For sure. On so many levels. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I would never think that I would become an author. So yeah, you know, this is a purposeful journey.
And you reflected on your relationship with your father.
Yeah.
As well. He was incarcerated when you were younger, and you guys did end up reconnecting. How do you think that's molded you into who you are?
It's molded me in a very unique way. You know what I mean? You always hear about people not having their fathers and having, you know, that male influence. But it turned into so many great things for me, you know, like me being the thing that I wanted the most, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And then fast forward, us having a relationship now, you know what I mean? Like, we took our first trip last year. We went to DR, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And we just chilled. And it's like, you know, it's so dope, you know, to be able to see where I come from and to realize, you know, some of my quirks and you know, perspectives as a person, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's dope to get that later on in life, you know what I'm saying? Because I didn't have really a lot of OGs or, you know, men in the game, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people that I look up to really actually give me information that was useful. So essentially, I had to be my own OG, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I look at some of the OGs differently because of that, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like I'm a young OG and I didn't really have no help like that. You know what I'm saying?
I'm glad so many brothers are having that conversation, because the first time I ever had a breakthrough in therapy, first time I ever cried in therapy, was discussing my daddy issues, basically.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because we want that relationship with our father so bad, and some of us don't have it. You know? Then you get older, you got your own kids, and you kind of just winging it because nobody ever showed you how to really be a good father.
Exactly. Exactly. And that later on in life, man, it was like a treat. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? I'm like so happy that I go get to kick it with my dad. And you know what I'm saying? He fly. You know what I'm saying? Like, he liked to do things a certain type of way. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Damn. You see you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And it's so dope when I see my son, because that's what I see. You know what I'm saying? And
dope.
You know, he just got a phone, and now he like texts me things that he likes. And I'm just like, what? He's eight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, shout out to Mega. He's probably gonna watch this one day. You know what I mean? So,
all right, we got more with Omarion when we come back. Let's get into Omarion Mini Mix. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was an Omarion Mini Mix. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking in with Omarion. Charlamagne?
Let's talk about divine timing, because I find it so interesting that there was the verses.
Yeah.
Right? Probably didn't go the way you wanted it to go
right.
fully.
For
but
sure.
You seem like you reacted with work.
For sure.
You reacted with the doc. You reacted with the book.
For sure.
How did that come about? Because clearly that's divine timing.
Yo, that's facts.
Yeah.
I just been preparing. And even though, you know, verses didn't go, you know, it still was, you know, wildly successful, the most successful one. You know, so to be able to show up in the journey and be able to be like, you know what, damn, this might not have been the way that I wanted things to go, but oh, wait a minute, watch this move right here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really highly thankful for, you know, all the energies, you know what I'm saying? Rest in peace, my Nana, she transitioned earlier this year, you know what I mean? So I definitely feel like the ancestors on the other side is moving certain things in the universe for me, and I'm just excited, man.
So how did you feel when people were questioning your talent?
Yeah, I was going to say, what went wrong that night? What would you have changed?
Well, you know, it was a lot of things that went wrong that night. First, not have a sound check. Another representative.
Why didn't you do a sound check?
There was no time. It was so underwhelming. They were not prepared, you know, for what I expected to be kind of a night in R&B that just kind of turned the sexy up on the planet again. You know what I'm saying? Like, really, let's talk about the women, you know what I mean? But it became kind of hip hop really, really fast, you know what I'm saying? Early on, it was like, that was the set of the energy, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And what was your question again?
How did you feel about people questioning your talent?
Oh yeah, I think that's the mark of a legend. I remember hearing people say Michael Jackson couldn't sing. And when you have been doing something for so long,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can definitely have an off night. But that is not the telltale of, you know, of a 22-year career, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm.
it felt like people took the opportunity to say things to you that they've always wanted to say.
It definitely felt like
it felt like.
Sure. Yeah, that was crazy.
It had to bother you a little bit. You're an artist. And as Erykah Badu said, you're sensitive about your
Well, let me say, it definitely challenged me, unlike I've been challenged in such a long time, to level up.
Word,
because,
word.
You know, I'm one of those people
mm-hmm.
that I don't really move for much, because I study and I practice and I work on my craft so much, you know what I mean? So I'm unmoved. But one thing that can move me, one thing that has moved me, you know, was the will to just be better.
I was gonna ask, what's your relationship with Rick Ross? Because I know that you guys, as far as business is concerned,
yeah,
decided to dissolve it, and I heard him, you know, throw a couple shots in a couple of songs.
Right.
So what is your relationship? And why? Why did you decide to leave or whatever it may be?
You know, I was under the impression at the time of, you know, Maybach Music inception, you know, what it is that I contributed to his business, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like on that level, he respects me and he know he has to respect me, you know, but as far as personally, you know, man, it's all good, man. Rosé is one of the funniest persons like to come across, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So, you know, if I see him, salute, but he showed me some things, you know what I'm saying? So because he showed me things, you know, even though he could have helped more, but yeah, I appreciate the experience, man. I had so much fun over in Maybach Music and making that music at that time and, you know, being able to create an alias Maybach O to feel a part of something that was like truly outside of my culture and outside of myself.
What could he have done more of, you think, for you?
I would just say, you know, one of the telltales for me, you know what I'm saying, was the last conversation him and I had when, you know, he came out to L.A. And, you know, I just expressed him as a businessman, you know, I need to prepare myself for, you know, my transitions. And, you know, respectfully, you know, if there's something going on with you in Atlantic, you know, just let me know so I can prepare myself. I was very clear with him with that. You know what I mean? He was like, I got you. You know what I mean? And then it was like, Maybach Music is no longer a label, and it's, you know, I gotta go and actually do the work that was necessary for my journey to like figure out, you know, where I was. And it wasn't in a good position, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's really what I'm talking about. We had a conversation, you know what I'm saying? But you didn't honor that and you didn't feel like you needed to. So
you go to therapy, right?
No.
Oh, you never been to? Okay.
No, I haven't.
Cause I'm gonna ask, what has Omarion done wrong in any of these situations?
I think not speak up. And also, I think I'm a little, you know, early on because I started so young, you know, I'm a little gullible, you know what I mean? Just as far as business, you know what I'm saying? And as far as what people don't give you, what people are not supposed to give you, you know what I'm saying? Like the respect that sometimes you assume you might get, but that you're never really shown, you know what I'm saying? So I would say that, you know, that's definitely on me, but I don't have no problem, you know what I'm saying, being honest about my mistakes and mm-hmm. Taking accountability for anything that I've done wrong to people. If you ever came across me and you know, have a relationship with me and you were confused about something, there was always an opportunity for you to be able to gain some clarity. But the actions, you know what I'm saying? And that's something that we always have to bring into question when we speaking about people's personalities. Like, there's layers to this, you know what I'm saying? And people have to be held accountable for what they're projecting versus their actions, you know what I'm saying? So what I would say, you know, that I've done wrong is it's just that. But it has gained me such a heightened level of awareness, you know what I'm saying, that it's probably second to none because, you know, I've been through it over and over again, you know what I mean? So I know where I'm going.
I want to ask you a couple more questions, especially in particular the Drink Champs interview.
Oh, okay.
Right? I saw Fizz say that he's not in contact with you because he never had your number. And it's always been like that. Is that true?
How does that sound, man?
That's what I'm asking. I don't know.
That sounds crazy, man.
How does he come into your house without calling you first?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Come on, Yee. Mm-hmm.
And he also said that you went solo because he had sex with a woman you liked.
Nah, I don't remember that happening. He was the first one to go solo because, you know, Fizz was like...
The rapper.
And you know, the rapper was like the most famous in the group. You know what I'm saying? So Fizz was definitely like in front, you know what I mean, as far as... certain vibes, you know what I mean, in the group, you know what I mean? You know how like, okay, Fizz doing something, well, he on his own way, we all getting on our own way, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So I viewed it like that.
Didn't they kick you out the group?
Basically. No, not really. No, it wasn't their fault. I take that back. It was Chris Stokes' fault. He made us become brothers, and then he separated us.
Is he the elder that you talk about?
He's one of the elders.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
You don't have a relationship with him now?
Uh-uh.
You know, Razzby, and I think it's been rumored that, you know, he talks about sexual abuse with Chris Stokes. Have you ever seen anything like that?
I haven't. I haven't seen anything like that. You know what I mean? But, I haven't.
Word.
Yeah.
Well, Omarion.
Unbothered.
Unbothered.
You still stand by the background dancers remark, or you feel bad about that?
Nah, you know what? When I think about that, you know, I thought that was funny because I'm going to just, you know, keep it. Player with you, you know what I'm saying? As you seen with the mother of my children, like, I'm never pressed off of a woman choosing up or who she want to be with. That's not my personality, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, hey, women choose, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? But for me, that's not what it was about. That's trivial and a drop, you know what I mean, in the ocean of the other things that we all have shared and mm-hmm. experienced. That's another thing that's just like, what does that have to do with anything, bro? You know what I mean? What's up, man? You know?
And you think really all communication is done? Like, because God forbid, we live in a real crazy world. You see the things that's happening to people.
Yeah.
If something was to happen to one of them, wouldn't you feel some sort of way?
Yeah, man. I don't want nothing to happen to nobody. And I wish them well, man. You know what I mean? Like, I really hope that they see through this experience and they take a little bit more accountability, you know what I mean, moving forward. And I hope that they... do good things for their life. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, I don't wish nobody bad.
And what is, she just asked me to ask you, what does watermelon have to do with everything?
Okay. Do you like watermelon?
Oh, gosh.
Do you like watermelon? Yes, watermelon is one of the best.
Very healthy.
Yes, it is.
Good for your heart, good for your skin.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
And see, so, and that's the window that people just don't want to walk through because they want to just stay at the, you know, sexual aspect of it. You know what I mean? Because good things are like sex. You know what I'm saying? And that's why we are all addicted to it. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So when you mix the fruit with the sex, that's another level. You might want to try that. You know what I'm saying?
Try watermelon, Taylor.
I'm telling you, you might want to try that. You might just want to start by kissing somebody that you love with watermelon and see how you feel.
It's interesting. They give you flack for it, but when Beyonce just randomly said it in a song, right. nobody cared. She right. ran just randomly watermelon. You just, yo, B. Yeah. Oh, say it. It's a problem. Right. Oh, do it. It's a problem.
All right. Well, Omarion, yeah. we appreciate
Thank you guys so much.
The power of choosing joy.
All right. Well, it's the Breakfast Club. It's Omarion.
Listen up.
This just in. All the gossip. The rumor report. With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
All right. Well, Quinta Brunson was on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and, you know, she had just won an Emmy, and he was laying on the floor after a bit that he had done previously, and people were upset.
Just silly.
That it kind of ruined her moment. And so here is what happened. And by the way, Quinta Brunson had said afterward backstage at the Emmys that she was not bothered by it at all, that Jimmy Kimmel was a huge supporter of her in the show. So here is what she had to say while she was on the show and what Jimmy Kimmel had to say.
That was a dumb comedy bit that we thought it would be funny. I lost, and then I drank too much, and I had to be dragged out on the stage. Mm-hmm. And then people got upset. Mm-hmm. They said I stole your moment, mm-hmm. And maybe I did, and I'm very sorry if I
maybe.
Did do that. I'm sorry I did do that, actually. And also, the last thing I would ever want to do is upset you because I think so much of you, and I, you know, I think you know that. I hope you know that.
I do. Well, Jimmy, let me just say thank you. It is very kind of you to say that. I honestly was in such a moment of just having a good time. Like, I won my first Emmy. I was up there, like, right. you know, happy.
So she's saying that she didn't even notice it.
Listen, when he said maybe you did, I'm glad he turned around and said yes, you did, because he did. Like, the apology is cool, but the best apology is change behavior. But you can't change your behavior because Quinta will only have one time to win her first Emmy. And Jimmy ruined that for her. Like, that was at some point, you got to know when to give the joke up, bro. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if she would, because she keeps on saying it didn't bother her. She said, thank you, that's kind, but honestly, I had a good night. So,
I mean, yeah, she's not letting nobody steal her joy. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
All right, now, Megan Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez, their trial has been continued. Now, Tory Lanez was in court yesterday. That's when the trial was supposed to start. But he was there because he needed a request for a delay. His current lawyer is in the middle of handling another case. And so Nancy Dillon posted on Twitter, trial start date continued between November 28th and December 8th over objection of prosecutors because Tory's lawyer is in arbitration. And then Kelsey Harris, who is Megan Thee Stallion's former best friend, according to Nancy Dillon, was leaving the courthouse after she was ordered to return December 9th as a witness called by prosecutors in Tory Lanez's felony assault case. She was in the SUV with Tory and Megan Thee Stallion. Prosecutor estimates jury selection will start December 5th.
Mm, that's what they're calling her, the witness, I'm sure.
Yeah, she's been subpoenaed because she was there. Mm-hmm. Mm. All right, now.
On behalf of who, though, I wonder?
I mean, I don't know if it's on who it's on behalf of, but she was there. So I'm pretty sure she knew that she was going to have to testify.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, we talked about this yesterday, and I said I thought this punishment wasn't harsh enough. And LeBron has said he thinks the NBA is letting Robert Sarver get off too easy. He's one of the Phoenix Suns and Phoenix Mercury owners. And he got a one-year suspension and a $10 million fine from the NBA after a nearly year-long investigation into workplace misconduct and organizational deficiencies. So LeBron posted, read through the Sarver stories a few times. Now, I got to be honest, our league definitely got this wrong. I don't need to explain why. Y'all read the stories and decide for yourself. I said it before and I'm going to say it again. There is no place in this league for that kind of behavior. I love this league and I deeply respect our leadership, but this isn't right. There is no place for misogyny, sexism, racism in any workplace. Don't matter if you own the team or play for the team. We hold our league up as an example of our values and this ain't it. You guys remember we talked about this yesterday, about Sarver saying the N-word, but they said it was when he was recounting someone else's statements. But I feel like on multiple occasions, they were like, you can't say that. And he still kept doing it. And also saying things about inappropriate comments about women's physical appearances. Mm-hmm. One woman who had gotten implants and, you know, things that he said to her. So it was a $10 million fine, which is the most that the league could impose. But it's just a 1 year
Yeah, I mean, in light of Donald Sterling having to sell the Clippers, I can understand why Bron feels that way. And the combination of the sexism and the racism allegations. The racism one is kind of a gray area because he was quoting people allegedly. But I wonder if the punishment would have been harsher if we had audio. With Donald Sterling, there was audio. You know what I mean?
That's true, too.
That's why I think he only got the 1 year and the $10 million.
If there was probably, seems light, though.
Yeah, but,
yeah, but also the misogyny and things that he said to women. That was exhibited also.
But that's just what I said. It's the combination of the racism and the sexism. But I think it's because they don't have the audio of it.
Correct.
With Donald Sterling, you had the audio. The world heard it. Like, the NBA had to, like, really, really, really take a strong stance with that.
Yeah.
With this, it's just, you know, allegations, he said, she said. I think it's the audio. The lack of audio was the reason he didn't get a harsher punishment, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know, but I do feel like, and in a statement obtained by ESPN's Mark J. Spears, Tamika Chamaglio, who's an executive director of the National Basketball Players Association, she said the horrible conduct from Suns owner Robert Sarver, who she believes should never hold a managerial position within our league again. She said yesterday the NBA released the findings from the independent investigation. And she said it's horrible and there's no place in our sport or any workplace for that matter. Additionally, the investigation confirmed that Mr. Sarver's deplorable behavior did not just come to light in November 2021. In fact, the report indicated Mr. Sarver's long history of inappropriate conduct, including racial and gender insensitivity, misogyny, and harassment, all issues that led to a toxic work environment for well over a decade. All right, well, that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Ms. Yee. Charlamagne, who are you giving that donkey to?
Man, I want Florida Governor Ron DeSantis to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him.
All right, we'll get to that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Make sure to see The Woman King, an epic film starring Viola Davis. Inspired by true events of the first ever Army of Women Warriors in a fight to save their kingdom. Trust me, you'll want to see it for yourself. Now playing exclusively in movie theaters. Tickets on sale now.
This is a miracle.
There is no question that there are problems in this country between police and community.
Yes, you are a donkey.
The latest on that police killing of a black man.
Now to new developments in the deadly spa shooting rampage.
And yesterday was a really bad day for him, and this is what he did.
And so we are in a state of emergency.
Okay, white supremacist violence is, it always has been, the number one threat to our society.
But I'm also very proud that my wife is white. My wife is white.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
All right, Sean Lee, please tell me, why was I your donkey of the day?
Well, donkey of the day for Thursday, September 15th, goes to Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. Now, if you haven't heard, Governor Ron DeSantis is claiming credit for sending two planes carrying illegal immigrants to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts. This move follows in the footsteps of Republican Governor Greg Abbott of Texas and Doug Ducey of Arizona, who begin sending migrants to Washington, D.C. earlier this year. Governor Abbott has since started sending the migrants to New York City and Chicago as well. Let's go to CBS News Boston for the report, please.
For unsuspecting residents of Martha's Vineyard, that's when tonight's calamity began. But for the 50 men, women, and children flown there, none of whom spoke English, the trip began much earlier and much farther away.
From what we found out by talking to the people, they're originally from Venezuela. They were flown here. We're not sure what plane brought them here or how they got on a plane to here. They did tell us they came from Texas.
Tonight, Florida's governor says his office organized the migrants' journey to Massachusetts as part of that state's relocation program. In a statement from Governor DeSantis's office, it reads in part, quote, states like Massachusetts will better facilitate the care of these individuals who they have invited into our country by incentivizing illegal immigration through their designation as sanctuary states. And support for the Biden administration's open border policies.
Well, Democratic lawmakers are calling what Ron DeSantis did evil and inhumane. Personally, I don't think it's as evil and inhumane as watching the border agents on horseback using those whip-like objects to push back Haitian migrants last year. But here's the thing. I actually think what Ron DeSantis, Greg Abbott, and Doug Ducey are doing is kind of genius. They're not with illegal immigration, okay? They have made that perfectly clear to everyone. Therefore, they are putting these humans on buses and on planes and shipping them where they are welcomed. They aren't welcomed in Texas, Florida, and Arizona, but they are welcomed in what they call sanctuary cities. Okay? Well, what is a sanctuary city? A sanctuary city is a community with a policy, written or unwritten, that discourages local law enforcement from reporting the immigration status of individuals unless it involves investigation of a serious crime. These sanctuary communities go beyond cities, though. One can find entire counties and states declaring sanctuary status. Would you like to know the list of the sanctuary states in the USA? Here they go. California, Colorado, Connecticut, Illinois, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington. And that is exactly where these humans are being shipped. Why are they being shipped there? Because as Ron DeSantis said in a statement, Florida has what they call a state relocation program to transport illegal immigrants to sanctuary destinations. States like Massachusetts, where Martha's Vineyard is, New York and California will better facilitate the care of these individuals who they have invited into our country by incentivizing illegal immigration through their designation as sanctuary states in support for the Biden administration's open border policies, end quote. Basically, what Ron DeSantis is saying is, I don't want them in my party. I told y'all I don't want them in my party. But if you insist, when they get here, they are your responsibility now, being that these states are sanctuary cities. And being that these states are sanctuary cities, that shouldn't be a problem. The only reason I'm giving Ron DeSantis donkey of the day is because he should have gave Martha's Vineyard's advance notice. Okay, all of these governors from Texas, Florida, Arizona, don't just put these humans on buses and planes and ship them to sanctuary cities. Let the sanctuary cities know they are coming. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. And second, it's the same reason we want people's votes on record, so we can see who's really about that life. Because if you let them know you're sending them and they say, no, we don't want them, then you are exposing their hypocrisy. When you don't give them a heads up, you know, you leave it to liberal media to twist the story, and they can just say this is evil and inhumane to do that. Now, Democratic Chair Manny Diaz said in a statement, even for Ron DeSantis, this is a new low. There is nothing that DeSantis won't do and nobody that he won't hurt in order to score political points, end quote. Now, are these immigrants being used as political pawns? Yes. But guess what? We all are. Everything politicians on either side, conservative or liberal, everything they do over the next 56 days is to score political points. You know this. That's why Democrats immediately let the press know that they provided these 50 migrants from Florida food, blankets, shelter, and other necessities to score political points with the people. But if you ask me, you shouldn't get points for what you're supposed to do. I would think that is what is supposed to happen in a sanctuary state. All I keep hearing politicians say is Ron DeSantis did this to gain cheap political points. I would say it's him being consistent. Okay, they are clear on their position about the border. They're acting accordingly. And I would much rather these migrants, you know, be sent to sanctuary states and have someone on horseback using whip-like objects to deter them from entering. Okay? Without the liberal media spin, one seems more humane to me. But they have to give these sanctuary states a heads up that they are coming. You have to give these sanctuary states notice, and you should, because guess what? It will probably work to your advantage, because you will probably expose the hypocrites in the political theater, because the truth to the matter is Democrats don't like the migrant surge happening at the southern border either.
Do you have to say quite clearly, don't come?
Yes, I can say quite clearly, don't come. And what we're in the process of getting set up, don't leave your town or city or community.
In an interview with ABC News, the president pushing back on criticism migrants are crossing in such large numbers because he has reversed several Trump-era immigration policies.
The idea that Joe Biden said come, because I heard the other day that they're coming because they know I'm a nice guy. Well, here's the deal. They're not.
They don't want them either. Okay? Just Governor DeSantis, give them a heads up next time, because I, for one, would love to see the excuse they come up with to not take those migrants in when you do. Please give Florida Governor Ron DeSantis the biggest hee-haw.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today, sir. Now, when we come back, ask Yee. 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, call Yee now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong,
and asthmatic, and at higher risk, get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
First he changed music, then he changed the world. The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and legacy of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. In this powerful and uplifting film, discover Bob Marley's story of overcoming adversity and the journey behind his revolutionary music that changed the world. If you missed it in theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Need relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice. Call up now for Ask Ye.
Keep it real.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Ye. Hello, who's this?
Hi, good morning, Breakfast Club. Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning.
Peace.
JMV, this lady.
Good morning. What's your question for you?
Hey, lady.
I have a question about me and my best friend's relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my boyfriend at the time, we were dealing together. And then I took him out of state to like a funeral with me. And then we came back. And then a couple of months later, he violated his parole. Ooh. He went on a run. He went and ran back down south to hide out with my best friend for 3 months.
What?
3 to 4 months. And she didn't even tell me until like 5 months later. And that was because somebody else called me from down here like, yo, I see your man with your girl. Where you at? I'm like, what?
Oh, you already know what it is.
And her profession is prostituting. But well, I wouldn't think that she would do anything with him. And I wouldn't think he would remember her address to run back down there on the run.
Well, clearly they were in contact with each other. And for some reason, they've been talking behind your back. No one told you. He didn't tell you. She didn't tell you. You had no idea he was there. That ain't your best friend.
We've been friends for like about over 15 years. She's been prostituting for that long, but I didn't think she would bring her profession into our friendship with my...
Let me ask you this. Does she have a history of doing things like this to other people other than you? Like, is she a sneaky person? Is she deceptive?
She always about her money.
Okay.
So if she pop up in about her money, so I guess if a person got some money or about some money.
Well, I guess her morals were not for her to be loyal to you. And so, honestly, yeah, could you...
I haven't been telling her too much information a month.
Can you like, trust somebody like that?
Yeah.
That's not your best friend. And let me tell you something. Just because you've known somebody for 15 years don't mean you have any obligation to continue to call them your best friend or continue to have them in your life in that capacity.
Right.
Only have people around you. Only have people around you who you could trust who have your back.
Yeah, but I done cut off so many damn people in my circle. I'm like, damn. I'm down to like one hand with friends.
Okay, but that's no reason to keep a toxic friend around you and someone who you can't trust. What is the definition of friendship to you, especially a best friend? That's supposed to be somebody that I know everything. You're not supposed to have my man living with you for months without me knowing. Yeah. That sounds crazy. Where is her loyalty?
Right. Facts. Because if she do that, she can capable of doing anything, set me up or doing whatever.
Does she think there's anything wrong with this at all?
No. She just, like... When I spoke to her, she just carried on like, oh, yeah, he came. He was hiding out. The police came kicking my door. I tell him he had to go. Like, it was just like regular conversation to her. Like, bitch, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Like, it's okay. I'll get you. And what do you still talk to him? That's not your boyfriend, right?
No, it's not my boyfriend. We ended up breaking up. He went in, went down south, got married, came back up here to New York.
Oh, yeah, he ain't ish either.
I spoke to him, and then he was trying to tell me the story. I put they both stories together, but they both stories sound suspect. And he was trying to get back with me. I'm like, nah, yeah. I ain't want no career in to be that bad.
Imagine that. And you know what the two of them was doing in that house.
Right.
So you know what to do. Listen, just thank God you got the two of them out of your life. Something worse happened.
All right.
All right, take care. No problem.
All right. Have a good morning. I'm going to keep it real
with you. Get some real advice with Angela Yee. It's Ask Yee.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
This is TT.
Hey, TT. What's your question for Yeezy?
Oh, my question is, well, first off, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, lady.
Good morning.
My question is that I just found out I was pregnant after 10 years, and I don't want the dad in the picture.
Okay.
You want the baby, but not the dad?
Basically, he got 4 kids in the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you don't want to be with him, but you still want him. Do you not want him to even be a father to your child?
No.
I mean...
This is my baby.
It's both of your babies, okay?
This is my baby.
But
after
just
10 years, like, he already got kids.
But just imagine this, you know, you don't want later on in life for your child to feel like my father abandoned me, neglected me, but then come to find out my mom didn't want him around. And so...
Like, period. It's okay. Like, but the thing is, he's not going to have time for babies in 2 years, not including the baby I'm currently pregnant with.
I understand. And look, you got yourself in a situation because you knew this before, right?
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't know?
No.
Okay. Well, listen, I will say this.
allow him the opportunity to step up to the plate as a father. He's not somebody you have to be with, okay? But for him to have his responsibilities as this child's father, and those responsibilities are not just financial, but also emotional, because this is more about your child than just you, right? This is about the future of your child, for your child to know. You know, I think a lot of people have issues with their father not being in their life, and it would be really hurtful later on for your kid to find out, my mom wouldn't allow that to happen, and that's why there was this void that I didn't have. Now, if he doesn't step up to the plate, that's on him. Thank goodness your child has an amazing mother who will love and care for, you know, for him or her. But you have to give him the opportunity.
See, and I will give him the opportunity, but, like, I don't want him in there.
You don't have to be with him. You don't have to do any of those things. You can communicate through a third party, all of that.
But I did that already.
As far as him being a father, you know, I think you have to, you know, you have to give him access, and you have to let him step up to the plate. Now, if he slacks on those responsibilities, you're there. But you never want your child to hear, my mom blocked that from happening. Because you don't know what will happen later on. Maybe he will be a great father. Maybe it will be the best thing that ever happened. Well, your child will be the best thing that ever happened to you. But don't go into the situation already saying, he can't come around. That's my child, not his. That's not fair to your child.
I hear you.
All right. And I'm glad you're in a position and you have the, you know, the wherewithal to take that responsibility on yourself if need be. But ideally, it would be great if he is an amazing dad. And let him be that if he can.
Okay. I feel like it's just the beginning pregnancy hormone that I haven't felt in 10 years.
I know. You're emotional. And guess what? You found out some things that you didn't know before. You feel deceived. You're angry at him. Never let your anger at him be taken out on the relationship. And I get that. You have every right to be angry at him. But this has nothing to do with an innocent child who didn't even ask to be here.
Correct. All right. Thank you, Mama.
And girl, one more thing. You're going to need the help. Yes. And maybe you'll appreciate it if he's the father that he's supposed to be. There's going to be times when you need a break. There's going to be some things that you need taken care of. You shouldn't have to do this by yourself. You don't make yourself do it alone.
You're right. You're right about that part.
All right, honey.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. Now, you got rumors on the way?
Yes. And let's talk about these defamation lawsuits.
All right.
We'll discuss.
All right, we'll get to it next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club. Listen up.
Well, Nicki Minaj has filed a lawsuit against a woman named Marley Green after she says that, you know, the woman alleged that Nicki Minaj is addicted to cocaine. Now, her celebrity gossip name is Nosy Hose, and she said that Nicki Minaj is shoving all this cocaine up her nose said allegedly before backtracking, but we all know it's true. I can't even say allegedly with that because, you know, we all know it's true. I'm not saying alleged or not. Nicki Minaj is a cokehead. Mm. Well, Nicki Minaj's legal team has said that this woman also made vile comments about her one-year-old son. And told Nicki Minaj to get therapy for her infant son because your baby is going to be a rapist too. So now she's being sued for defamation. She said she has never used cocaine. And Nicki Minaj is looking for $75,000 in damages.
Hey, there's a whole generation of people who don't realize the consequences of their words. They think they can get on these platforms like YouTube and social media and say and do anything. And you simply can't. You simply can't. By the way, if you think all of these people you have loved over the years, from the Wendy Williamses, the Perez Hiltons, to whoever, haven't been sued, you are out of your devil damn mind. Only difference is they have money and corporations that will take those blows for them. Y'all not going to have that, okay? All y'all going to do is get your wages garnished and end up bankrupt and in really bad debt. And if you think for one second that somebody won't take your house if given the opportunity, you bucking. That's what garnishing your wages mean. They're going to learn the hard way.
Well, Cardi B also has a message for Tasha K. As you know, Tasha K won her $1.25 million defamation lawsuit against Tasha K earlier this year after they held her accountable for intentional infliction of emotional distress. Mm. Okay, well, Cardi B is now saying to go ahead and send that check because Tasha K is still going at Cardi B. So she said, nobody said your name, send my check. And there you have it. Can't just say anything. All right, Pharrell has launched a creative company to combat societal issues facing marginalized communities. It's called Mighty Dream. That agency was made in partnership with the marketing group Edelman, and it'll focus exclusively on ideas for products that strive to aid marginalized communities in America and then work with big brands to bring those ideas to life. That's dope. Mm-hmm. That's like when you decide I want to do things that matter. And he's always done things that give back, but I think that's a great way to use your power. All right, now Eminem is helping to celebrate XXL's 25th anniversary by looking back at his own career. He wrote an article where he discusses everything. You know, he talked about before he signed to Dr. Dre and Interscope and having a conversation with Royce da 5'9". And he said he had made 3 or 4 songs, gave it to this guy, and then found out that the guy worked in the mailroom and wasn't really who he said he was. He was at such a low point. He said he was 24. He had a baby to take care of. All he wanted to do was rap. And so a lot of things happened after that. He discussed drugs becoming a part of the way that he was living his life once he did end up getting signed. He said, when I first came to L.A., me and some guys I was hanging out with used to go to Tijuana, and we would buy drugs, Vicodin, and all of those things, and go back and forth. And so he said his addiction didn't start in his early days when he was coming up. It really started after he got signed and got some heat. So, you know, he goes on to discuss battling that addiction and taking 75 to 80 Valiums a night and even having 10 drug dealers at one time. That's a lot. 75 to 80?
Now he's spreading the wealth with 10 different drug dealers. Lord have mercy.
In one night. Man. All right, so he talked about the album Encore and how that album got leaked, and it would have been a completely different album if it hadn't gotten leaked, because then he had to go and remake parts of the album from scratch. And he ended up putting up some of those songs as a bonus disc because those songs had leaked. So other things he discussed also was his relationship with Eminem. Now, he spoke with Paul Rosenberg on Paul Rosenberg's SiriusXM show and podcast, and he said that Dr. Dre's brain aneurysm is what actually led him to reconciling with Snoop Dogg. Here's what he said happened with Snoop.
I think that there was a miscommunication at the time in regards to him being on my album, the Mathers LP, Bitch Please 2, and I think he had wanted to do something with me and maybe gave you the idea or something, and you said something to the effect of, well, let's hear what the song is first. You know, let's see what the type of song is. And I think he said the way that he took it was kind of like that I don't f*** with him.
I don't even think I said it to him, because I don't remember talking to him, but I may have talked to somebody on his team. And whatever I said was relayed back to him in a way that he didn't like, and he thought that meant that you didn't f*** with him, which obviously wasn't the case.
Right, which I explained to him. Like, I'm like, bro, Doggy Style changed my life.
Pause.
It's all right. Album, stop it.
What?
That's crazy.
That's listen, you can't front on Eminem's impact on the game.
Not
okay, to me, the measure of success isn't just individual accolades. It's how many other people do you make successful? And Eminem gave us 50 Cent and G Unit. So,
right.
To me, he's super successful.
All right. All right.
Well, you can't say Doggy Style changed my life without saying Doggy. You got to say Doggy Style, the album.
Well, we see what your mind is. And that is the Rumor Report.
Jesus Christ.
Up next to People's Choice Mix, 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. All right. You got a positive note for the people?
I do. Positive note is simple, man. When you do right by people, God takes care of you and everything attached to you. Believe
Breakfast
that.
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Y'all finished or y'all done?
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.